Hi, welcome. Nope, that's not how we start. What's up, Yap Squad? Jesus Christ, get it together. What's up, Yap Squad? How's it going? Welcome back to a brand new re-yap or recap, but we'd like to call it re-yap in this house. And we're talking about the first two episodes of Skeleton Crew. If you're new here, my name is Brooke. I am here with my co-host, Sawyer, and we have a very special guest host for our Skeleton Crew re-apps, Megs, Megalorian. They're amazing. I'm so glad that you're here.
I'm so happy to be here. I'm so excited. And
yeah, we're gonna yap about the Skeleton Crew. The Skeleton Crew? Nope, that's not what it's called.
I think it should be. I mean, they are the Skeleton Crew.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's the Mandalorian. Can it be the Skeleton Crew?
I think
that we about Dave Filoni.
Pitch it to
well,
Dave
maybe
Filoni.
It's a Skeleton Crew.
Singular.
Just one.
Did you guys see? Shout out to Tommy Stella on Twitter. He like was fighting with somebody about this.
Yes,
the you don't follow Tommy Stella. He's a great Twitter follow if you still are on that hellhole. I think he's on Blue Sky now too, but anyway, he was fighting with somebody who thought he was serious because he took like a screenshot of the poster and was like, wow guys, I found the Skeleton Crew, and it was like the three like skulls, and someone was like, actually it's called a Skeleton Crew because blah 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 blah, and it was really funny. And now that's every time I hear Skeleton Crew, that's what I think of.
Honestly, that's I think that's what Tommy would want.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it is. But anyway, we are going to be talking about the first two episodes of Skeleton Crew because they were premiering on the same day. But unlike our last re-yaps where we did every two episodes, we're going to be in your house, in your earlobes every week.
Talking about
Skeleton Crew for the next 7 weeks. Yeah, wow. You're welcome. but I'm excited. And I'm excited to talk about this show because we'll start with some non-spoiler thoughts, initial thoughts. I was watching this and I was like, we're so back. And I don't mean that like we ever left. I really liked The Acolyte, but like my Star Wars is like The Mandalorian and like the OG trilogy and things that give me like the warm and fuzzies. And Skeleton Crew has been giving me those warm and fuzzies, so I'm pretty excited so far. How about you guys?
Sawyer, you go first.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that I was going to love this show, but it is just so fun and so refreshing. And from the second I turned it on, I was just like, this is the best thing ever. And I've just been missing my Star Wars, so this has been great.
Yeah, I feel like it's a great way to come back. Like, I feel like because The Acolyte ended up being so divided, I feel like this is such a fun way to come back in a way, because even though, like, we love The Acolyte, obviously, like, we are huge Acolyte fans, I feel like Skeleton Crew is almost, like, the perfect, like, let's take a step back and bring it back to kind of where we began and see if we can, like, capture the essence that everyone remembers. And like, we were sitting in the theater, and our entire theater, because I went and saw the preview in Disney Springs, the entire theater was cackling, like both the episodes. It was so awesome to hear everyone just like be like, oh my god, okay, we're so here, we're so back.
That's so fun. Yeah, someone who hadn't seen it yet asked me to describe it to them without spoiling it for them, and I was like, it's like if a Star Wars fan got to have a Star Wars adventure in the Star Wars universe. And yeah. What does that mean? And I'm like, exactly what I said. That's such what this show is. And it's so fun. Absolutely. And I'm so excited.
Yeah. I'm a fan, and I'm being serviced. I think like,
absolutely.
Star Wars has, and I think a lot of Hollywood things falls into the trap of trying to like capture the nostalgia of like old IP or older things that people loved when they were kids. Like, that's why we're getting all of these live action animated adaptations and there's not a lot of like original stories anymore. It's a lot of adaptations of video games and books and et cetera, et cetera. And I think Star Wars falls in that trap too. I think for a long time we were getting the like nostalgia grab of the people that loved the prequels and the people that loved the Clone Wars. And that's great. But that was, it, for me personally, that was never like the Star Wars that I really connect with. Like, I love all Star Wars. I love the Clone Wars. I love the prequels. But like, I really connected with the OG trilogy. And I think the sequel trilogy captures a lot of that essence more so than the prequels, just because the prequels were so different. Get off my ass, people who are about to type in the comments. What do you mean? The vibes. Okay. We're not talking about anything else but the vibes. Like I said, like the Mandalorian gives me those vibes. I think even Rebels sometimes gives me those vibes, and Skeleton Crew is really giving me those vibes. And I think I heard somebody else talking about it, but they said that like Skeleton Crew feels like nostalgia, but it's also something brand new.
Yes.
Because it is, it's playing on the nostalgia of like the 80s kids. Cause it's very like Goonies inspired. It's very inspired by, what the fuck is that movie? Treasure Planet.
My little Goonies pop figure.
Love.
Speaking of Goonies.
And it's playing on the nostalgia of like the kids who grew up in the 80s watching Star Wars. I feel it's got all of that encapsulated in it.
I agree. I think that it just has that like joy and whimsy that I think that the original trilogy really had of like just like this. It is space fantasy. Like Star Wars is space fantasy through and through, and it's kind of ridiculous, and it's kind of like if you look at it from like a outside perspective, like the whole idea of Star Wars is kind of silly. And I feel like I feel like the original trilogy really played with that while still having those serious moments, but I feel like we're kind of back in that, like, we can still be silly. It's okay to be, like, it's okay to make fun of ourselves a little bit and, like, remember that, like, this is a whole universe of, like, weird things happen all the time. And I just think that that's so fun.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love all the aliens. That, like, really pulls me into the Star Wars feels.
I just realized my
TV and there's so many aliens.
Else. Oh my god. Literally so many. Kind of all over the place.
I mean, to have a main character that is not only an alien, but an alien that is made like with a practical puppet and like CG, and not just like, because obviously like Ahsoka is an alien, Hera is an alien, but those are like real people in costume makeup. Whereas like you have Neil, they just slapped an elephant freaking robot puppet on that kid, and I love it.
And he slid.
He slayed. I love hashtag Neil Nation. We'll get to it. But just know we love Neil in this house. Any other initial thoughts before we get into some spoiler territory?
I don't know. I think I'm ready to dive in.
I'm ready to talk about it. Let's ready to go.
Do it. Let's jump into that bubbly bathtub. We saw Neil, and it was so
big, and I want it so bad.
He's so small. Also, shout out to Neil, has little siblings. I was there, like,
and they're just as cute.
Just as cute as him. Obsessed. But anyway, we're gonna start with the first episode. Episode one is titled "This Could Be a Real Adventure." It was directed by John Watts of the MCU Spider-Man movie fame. He directed all three of them. And apparently also a lot of random music videos. I was on his Wikipedia page and I was like, wow, this man has directed a lot of music videos. And it was written by Christopher Ford and John Watts, who wrote 6 out of the 8 episodes together. So they wrote these first two. Christopher Ford also wrote Spider-Man Homecoming, so they've been working together for a long time. And he also wrote Chaos Walking, if you saw that movie. I didn't really like it, but
wild. It's certainly a movie.
There's amazing things you can find out on the internet. But the Disney Plus synopsis, or little like sentence about the episode underneath the episode. It says, kids from an ordinary planet discover a surprising secret. And I think that that's, yeah.
Oh, shoot. That
explains the episode. So what are your initial thoughts about this first episode? Because I feel like it's got to come out starting strong to get people engaged.
Yeah. I think it's so interesting that the synopsis is like, oh, kids from an ordinary planet. Because I think to anyone who's not a Star Wars fan, it is an ordinary planet. But everybody mm-hmm. else that is a hardcore Star Wars fan is like, something is weird with this
Something's
planet.
Wrong.
Like, and it's not that it's in suburbia. First of all, I absolutely love the fact that the show takes place in Star Wars suburbia, because obviously mm-hmm. that's going to be a thing in this vast galaxy. So that's not what sets me off about this, but the droids are a little unnerving. The droids are mm-hmm. running the entire show everywhere. Yep. And then, of course, the way that the undersecretary talks about the great work, like, is this, are we in the High Republic right now? What is happening? And then you've got the barrier and like, whatever, we'll get into it. But I would just have to say, this is not an ordinary planet.
Not at all. I think the thing that like made me go, what is going on? was when she was talking about the great work and talking about how when she asked them like what job they wanted to do, and they all said things like system analyst and like very like analytical or like clinical admin jobs, and I was like, okay, you guys are kids. Like, that is not what,
yeah,
you know, even in the Star Wars universe, look at our main character, he literally is like, the main four of them don't want to be system analysts and things like that, they want to do other things, and I feel like it's a little bit of a red flag, but all the kids are like, yeah, admin.
I got Sawyer, I know you're a Divergent fan. I got like Divergent vibes.
Yes.
From that.
Yes.
Oh my god. Yeah, no, the whole thing with the assessment and like everybody is going to take the test and you can only take the test on one particular day. Like, we yes. got very lucky that he was allowed to take the test on another day. And then the whole, like, oh, you have 50 points marked off. You have to get every question right. If you fail, like, I think Fern saying, like, oh, you get sent to the mines, that was an exaggeration. But it did really feel like there's some kind of punitive measure for if you fail this assessment. Like, yeah. you're the scum of society and you don't get to be
you
a
get some, like, really
member.
Bad job.
Yeah, no,
and you
literally.
Can't even like, and what job is that? Because obviously the yeah. droids are janitors and the droids are everything else. And you can't even be a doctor because there's security droids for that. You know, Wim's like, I want to help people. That could mean a ton of things. And they're just mm-hmm. like, we have droids for that. And, okay.
It's like, okay, why?
What is this utopia and why doesn't it exist in the rest of the galaxy?
And it feels weird to me. Like, it didn't feel like this was some, like, New Republic propaganda. This Mm-mm. is, like, I think a separate
thing. Well, because she also never said the New Republic. Like, she never said anything like that. She just said the Republic. And that's mm-hmm. what made me go, I we've been talking many theories in our house.
I was gonna say, and then in I think the second episode we see some credits that have not that are very old. But we'll get to that. But yeah, I loved that Wim and Neil were doing their little lightsaber battle. Oh, I was like,
oh.
I was, and then there was another shot of Wim with like his little action figures, and I was like, who got footage of me? In my house with my action figures.
Literally, it felt like me and my cousins as kids. Like, so cute.
Yeah, it was adorable. And it's like, is very relatable. Like, we all did that. Even at, like, I didn't even like Star Wars when I was a kid, and I did that.
I think that's what makes it so fun, too, is that when they advertised this show, they obviously advertised it very, like, nostalgic and, like, definitely leaning into that Goonies ET kind of vibe. And I feel like even like from immediately the first episode, they immediately were like, yeah, we're really like, we were being serious. And I yeah. love that, because when I was a kid, I was always playing pretend. We were always doing things like me and my cousins used to run through the woods with Nerf swords and like whack each other and act like we were Jedi, like all the time. And so being able to like see that in the Star Wars universe, because it totally makes sense. They would hear all these legends and things, I'm sure. Like there are plenty of kids that don't hear the name Luke Skywalker, but they hear about the Jedi and like have their own images and whatever, and like they're such a prevalent part of society, but also not everyone sees them. And so it totally made sense to me that like they have these stories and stuff that they could like come up with and hear their entire lives. And it's just, it's cool to see in such a big galaxy like the smaller pieces like that.
But it was kind of surprising to me that already, like, what is this, like 8 years after, 8-10 years after Return of the Jedi?
I think it's the first season of The Mandalorian is 9 BBY or ABY, which is I think 4 years after Return of the Jedi, or 5. Yeah. So it's somewhere in that zone.
Yeah, so it was surprising to me that Wim did have a book about the Jedi being heroes, just because that seemed like a very quick turnover. Obviously, the New Republic swoops in and they, you know, but that it kind of plays into what you were saying, Megs, about is this, what is going on with this planet?
Well, yeah, because I'm wondering, this planet has to be like old. Because I don't think that it would have been like, oh, Luke saved everybody and now there's stories about these Jedi. Like, I don't think that the fucking Empire ever got to them, it seems. Well, like,
and the story that he had, Star Wars Explained, Molly Damon, she like translated everything from the book that he had, that we could see, and from what it said, it didn't sound like Luke's journey at all. It definitely sounded like the Jedi that we have seen in like the High Republic kind of vibe. And I was like, that's why I was like, huh, because obviously they would have tried to wipe anything Jedi related that like put them in a positive light after Order 66. So the fact that they obviously didn't get to this planet and get rid of that crap beforehand, I'm like, I'm having lots of thoughts.
Yeah, this planet is so far a mystery. I think that's cool. But we've got some other characters too. Love Wim. I thought he was cute. His dad, Wendell. It seems like a very like everybody has their jobs and they go to work and that's their job, and everything else is like secondary to that. And then we were introduced to Neil. Love him.
Little
cutest little guy ever. But then we have Fern and we have KB, who are the baddest bitches on At Aden. We stan. I don't want to hear anybody say anything about them.
Their outfits slay.
Yeah, when I did my reaction with Chris on his YouTube channel, Star Wars Lawyer, he said that Fern gives him like Lando Leia combination energy, and I was like,
love that.
Yes, for sure.
The sass and like the confidence,
But also a little of the like, I don't want to say manipulation, but like, kind of like tricky trickster vibes.
Gave me
a lot of that. But then apparently her mom is that is the undersecretary, played by Carrie Condon, who's like an amazing actor. So that was cool.
What a slay.
Yeah. So we're gonna see how all of that plays out. But we didn't even talk about the opening of this episode. We were given a really cool fucking opening, which is the first time I was like, oh, we're so back. We start with like a pirate invasion on a ship with a bunch of pirates. And we're introduced to Captain Silvo. I have in my notes underneath that, sure, Jan.
Sure, John.
Sure, John. Because it's obviously Jude Law's character. They didn't even attempt, like in the accolade, they hid Manny Jacinto's voice in under the mask. They did nothing to hide Jude Law's voice.
I spent so much time trying to find his jacket before the show came out, because I was like, before I did my Neil outfit, I was gonna do a John outfit before everything. And I spent so much time trying to find a jacket like that. And so when I saw him walk out, I was like, oh, that's Jude Law. I was like, I know exactly who that is.
And to be completely fair, the things that they have said about the character in interviews and stuff, we knew that he was going to have some kind of dark evil past.
So
it did shock me a little bit that they were just right out the gate like, okay, here's Jude Law's character, because, you know, I've heard a lot of people say this show is directed towards children. I disagree. I really don't feel that way about the vibes of this show. But I was a little surprised. I was like, oh, okay, this has to be a choice. Why are we finding this out now as opposed to when the kids are going to find it out?
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if it's because there's something more to him that we don't know. Because, obviously in the second episode, we meet him again and we see some stuff, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. But I wonder if there's like more to it of like how he ended up with the pirates or like possibly what he was doing before. I don't know. I feel like there's got to be something else if they're saying that there's like something more going on with him, because if they're already telling the audience, hey, this guy that's going to hang out with these kids is a pirate, I feel like there's going to be more to it.
I love that they're like Captain Jack Sparrowing him though immediately.
Oh my god,
they're like, oh yeah, he was like this really cool captain, he like had all these people that followed him, and then he fucked up real bad and they all kicked him out, and now he has nothing. I love like all of the other, I forget who it was, somebody on, I saw someone online, I think it was another podcast, another Star Wars podcast. They did all the comparisons of like characters and their pirate components from other, or counterparts from other things.
Oh, that's cool.
Like we have SM33 is obviously not just Smee. And there were a couple other ones, but I was like, that's so cool. And I definitely got like, not Captain Jack personality vibes from Silvo, Jod, what the fuck ever, Jude Law, which we haven't really, we've only seen him for like 2 seconds, to be fair.
Yeah.
But like the story of how he's, his like fall from grace or whatever. But yeah, I definitely think there's more to him than we see, than we, well, I think we'll find out things and then the kids will find out things.
I agree.
I wonder if they're going to show us like stuff.
It almost feels like they're kind of giving the audience like more of a window into stuff, which I think is fun. It's like, it's almost like when you're reading a book and like you, the reader, are finding out things from like other perspectives that the other characters are not finding out yet. And so then you're like stressed because you know this other thing is happening, but these characters don't know yet. That's kind of what it feels like of like, oh, I know honestly, more than you do.
It's like when you play fucking D&D and you know something, but you have to pretend like your character doesn't know.
And you're like,
they don't. And it's hard. It's hard to, but yeah, so we got that really cool opening scene, and then we get all of the suburbia things. Wim misses his poor bus. We've all been there. Misses his exam. I don't know why he didn't just like call somebody. I mean, it's a kid, that's why. Like, he's like, oh, take a shortcut. It was not a shortcut.
The first time I watched, I missed that he had seen Fern and KB go that direction. So I watched it again with my mom, and I was like, oh, that, I thought he just was like, I know a shortcut. It makes way more sense.
Okay,
now
that does make sense. I didn't catch that either. And I watched the episode twice, so.
Oh my god.
That's so awesome. But anyway, he takes a shortcut and he finds this thing, and then he gets caught by some droids and he gets taken to school, and he's like, I think I found a Jedi temple. And everyone's like, whoa, hold on.
Whoa, buddy, back up. I can't get over the droid being like, you need to come with me. And he goes immediately, okay, how?
There were some like funny moments in this show that like actually were making me genuinely laugh.
Yeah, the dialogue in the show is great. I absolutely love the scene when they go back and when he takes Neil to the what he thinks is the Jedi temple, and he KB is like, "You have a crush on at school." Runa!
Nim goes, or Wim goes, Noah, Neil, Runa!
With no hesitation, too. Neil was like, I'm not gonna lie. I don't think Neil could lie if he, like, really needed to.
No, absolutely not.
Poor little baby.
I just love that he's, like, the little, like, I don't know, like, the, I don't think this is a good idea, guys. Like,
and I just love it. He's just so cute.
It's so and then, good.
The Claimsies. Too. That was also so like peak childhood of like,
oh yeah,
you have to honor the Claimsies. Like you gotta, you can't. It doesn't matter.
The dialogue felt very like things that kids really say, and I think that kids are doing. I feel like there's always, especially in Star Wars, like hyper criticism over the children of the, which isn't fair, but they're like acting, because a lot of them it's like their very first role. I think they're doing an incredible job.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god,
like they have really good chemistry together. It's reminding me of like the Stranger Things kids, like in the first season you just like knew that it was going to be something special from the beginning because these kids like had a lot of chemistry with each other and all yada yada yada. But yeah, I think it's great.
They're just having so much fun, and you can tell like from the instant it starts that they're just like, even though they're like obviously they're there to do a job and they're acting and blah 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 whatever, they're still kids, and you can tell they're having so much fun, like so much fun.
They're like, we're in like Star Wars.
That's so cool. Imagine being 10 years old and like being like, yeah, I'm in Star Wars, no big deal.
It's I want to, speaking of filming or whatever, I want to talk about how I think that they're improving on the, what is it? Oh my god, I blanked. The thing that they film on. The thing.
The volume.
The volume. Thank you. The volume. Because I could, because I know that they use the volume, I could tell that they were using the volume, but not in the same way that, like, when I watched the Obi-Wan show, I could tell that they were using the volume, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels a lot more seamless, and I could, like, believe that they were actually outside.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
The technology is definitely moving up, and it looks a lot better than it did.
Anyway. But where do we leave this episode off? I'm trying to remember, because they're kind of a blur together to me. We leave
when they
off...
go into hyperspace.
Yes, okay, so that is the first episode. So they all go back to this, what they say is a temple, or what Wim says is a temple of the Jedi, or secret entrance.
It's for sure a temple, guys. Yeah. It's a temple that can transport.
Yeah, exactly. But KB and Fern are there, and that's where we got the funny moment of KB being like, who do you have a crush on? But they all open. Somehow they open it up. They get inside, and Wim's dad shows up. They're like, "Is that your dad?" And he's like, "I don't want to be embarrassed in front of these girls." So instead of like doing the responsible thing and being like, "I'm in here, Dad, help!" They act. Somehow the ship starts on its own, and it comes out of the ground. It's this huge thing. I don't understand how the droids didn't see it, but anyway, it went into space, and the kids are now in space by themselves,
which is kind of awesome.
Yeah, I guess technically not by themselves, because
they have a droid.
We will get to SM33. Was that in the first episode? I'm like trying to remember.
No, that's in the second episode.
Second one. Okay.
Yeah.
So it takes off. Zoom, they go into hyperspace. The kids' reactions to going into hyperspace, what the most relatable, accurate thing, because that is exactly how anyone would react going into hyperspace the first time.
Just it's how most people react when they ride Millennium Falcon, Smuggler's Run, in
that
Disney
too.
The first time. Of like the, what is happening?
Yeah. I loved that. I think that might have been my favorite part of the episode, to be honest.
Oh my god, it was so funny. And I just, my other favorite part of the first episode is when they keep telling Wim, don't touch anything. And he literally is sitting there with the headset on, and he goes like this, and then he goes, and then he just looks at it again. Pushes it. I was like, that's so me.
I love how they were all like at the in like on the control panel, all these buttons, and they were just like, look for a switch that looks like it does something.
They push everything.
They're just pushing everybody. I mean, it's what I would do if I was in a Star Wars ship. But it's just like, you don't think that something crazy is gonna happen if you start pushing all those buttons, you don't know what they do.
I just want to know how the ship only required that one button to turn on, and
yeah.
Right? Like, I feel like there has to be more to it. Like, is that I guess it could kind of make sense. Because, like, think about, like, a car. Like, a electric start car where you just push the button and it turns on.
Yeah, but you turn the car on. You don't. But even if it was a Tesla that was self-driving, you need to put in directions to where it goes.
Like, so right.
You can't just one button and it immediately goes
somewhere.
What I'm
thinking is that if this planet is this lost planet, this ship has to have been there for a very long time, considering there was so much growth over top of it. Maybe there's like a homing beacon or something that's like you press that and it's like, oh, it's coded to bring you back into space, to take you to wherever, or at least take you back into space so you can get out of there. Otherwise, I'm like, just one button. Just to lift the, like, because it autopilots all the way up there. So
yeah, it literally got them like fully upright and out of orbit. So
yeah.
Crazy. Also, the barrier
that we've like seen before, I didn't pay that much because it was really big.
Think so.
Familiar to any like time period? I'm trying to think back about what it looked like.
Well, they already released a Lego of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't scream anything to me, but
yeah, same.
It just kind of looks like a ship. You know? It's a cool ship.
Yeah, kind of like an indescript time.
Yeah.
Period. I feel
like most of those kind of like pirate ships kind of end up being like that.
Yeah.
The thing I want to know is like, obviously the ship got out of orbit. And they talk about the barrier and how the barrier has been there the whole time. And obviously they can't see stars because the kids go out into space and immediately go, oh, what the heck is that? How does the barrier work? Like,
yeah.
Is it just keeping the planet hidden? Because, like, obviously their ship was able to get out of the barrier, zero issue. So I feel like it's not necessarily a barrier. I feel like that's just what they call it. I feel like it's more so like a cloaking situation of like keeping the entire place hidden because they were able to get out so easily. And obviously this ship crashed into the planet. That wouldn't have been able to happen if there was an actual like barrier.
It's either like that or it's like a naturally occurring thing that hides the planet that people call the barrier, but they don't permit people to leave. So that's why I'm like,
well, and it had like the red dots in the sky.
Yeah,
that, like, we're in like that grid, and that felt purposeful of like something is keeping something here to block something.
Yeah, but also they knew what starships were. Like they were like, they were like, oh, this is a starship when they started flying.
I wonder, had they just heard about them? Had they never seen them before, or had they?
I'm wondering. Maybe it's one of those things where like they have books about the Jedi, and they have books about things in the other world, but it's not like taught in schools.
Yeah,
like it's like what they teach in schools is like, here's how you can be a productive member of our society.
Yeah, and then they hear these things as like legends or like stories and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna assume for now. I guess we can move on to episode two.
Yeah,
right on.
Heck yeah.
So episode two is called Way, Way Out Past the Barrier. This one is directed by David Lowery, who also directed the Green Knight film, as well as the live action versions of Pete's Dragon and Peter Pan and Wendy.
I forgot they made Pete's Dragon live action.
I was going to say, do with that what you will. But just because somebody directed a movie that wasn't very good doesn't mean they're a bad director. And the Disney Plus synopsis of this one is, a surprising first stop marks the beginning of an unexpected journey. I can't read today. So
that feels kids, very Hobbit-esque.
It really does. So the kids are in space now, and they find SM-33, or Smee, if you will. Or I think they were just calling him 33. Who is, I don't know if they have explained or if there's anything written about what type of droid he is, but it's, to me, I said this when I was watching the reaction, he feels like some kind of mashup of a K2 and like an HK droid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like some in between of those.
And he might be. I think because he's very clearly a somebody's pirate droid, he could just be an amalgamation of different droid parts.
For sure. That's
true. Mm-hmm. That is true.
He's scary and I love him.
Yes. And he's played by Nick Frost, who is an actor who's been in a lot of things. But he works
a lot. I know him as Santa Claus from Doctor Who.
Yes, exactly.
No way.
Yep.
I forgot.
What a guy. About
that. Shout out to that. I just know that he works with Simon Pegg a lot on things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like they're Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, The World's End. World's End is one of my favorite movies. I think it's so dumb.
Oh my god, I forgot he was in The Adventures of Tintin too. Dang.
He's great. Love the voice. Love, so piratey.
Oh my god.
So already obsessed. Piratey.
And he has a peg leg.
He has a peg leg and he's got a little parrot that's like this tiny ugly, so ugly it's cute, little rat thing. I love him. I want one. I have in the outline. I was like, what did I say? Oh, that tiny ugly rat thing. I love him so much. Galaxy's Edge, please put him in the creature stall.
Oh my gosh.
Eight of them.
And I also love how throughout the episode, Neil goes from being afraid of the little rat thing to like protecting the little rat
it. Thing. Oh my god. And he just like carries it with him. I was like, I feel like Neil is going to end up like adopting a bunch of things throughout this whole time. He's going to either like klepto pick things up or he's going to just like take all these little creatures and be like, okay, I guess you're mine.
Yeah. I can totally
like, I guess you're coming with me.
Yeah. I can see that. But yeah, Wim said, I am the captain now. And SM33 said, you are the captain now. Or Fern, I guess.
It was Fern.
Now. Mm-hmm. Fern.
Wim got upset. He said, I wanted to be the captain. And Fern was like,
that's right.
Doesn't matter.
Fern said, I am the captain now. yeah, shout out to that. Shout out to Fern being the captain.
Period.
But yeah, and they were like, we need to get home. And somehow they ended up on this Tortuga-like place. Very piratey planet. I immediately was like, oh, it's like Tortuga.
It reminded me a lot of Nowhere as well.
Yes.
MCU, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
100% of like that kind of conglomeration of like a bunch of shit. And you're like, huh? How did this all get here?
With a lot of like strange individuals and interesting people. But yeah, I was surprised. Honestly, like talking, this show is definitely not direct. I don't think it's directed at kids because, like, first they get in there and they see immediately some guy like throwing up because he probably drank too much.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think they've ever shown something like that in Star Wars before.
And right after that, they show the brothel, which is they don't spend a significant part of time on that, but it's like,
okay, but you know what it is.
Yeah. So they're really leaning into like the pirate of it all,
which I kind of love. Like it's something that like we obviously have known that it's a thing, and like I feel like it's kind of fun that this is coming out right after Outlaws just came out a couple months ago, because like it feels like Star Wars is really leaning into that kind of like bounty hunter pirate situation, which is cool because like, again, I love exploring parts of the galaxy that we have not seen and like haven't delved into a lot, and so it's fun to see more of that from like their perspective and their side of things rather than just like someone showing up and trying to like infiltrate and all of that, you know.
Yeah. Did they say what planet it was?
I think it's a port. I don't think it's a planet.
Okay.
Space station.
I think it's just like a space station, and from my understanding, it's essentially like a place where they can refuel, get food, and like also like meet each other, you know, if they have like deals and stuff, obviously. That was kind of the vibe I got from what SM33 said, and then like what they all were doing on the thing. I also want to talk about the little creature that drove them to the spaceport. Apparently
Billy was like, what is that? What is that monkey thing, Sawyer? I was like, I have no idea. I don't know.
Apparently he does have a name now. Twitter and Swagman have given him a name. His name is Jeff.
Oh, amazing.
So I the little creature that doesn't speak, well, does speak and goes, is Jeff.
Makes sense.
I'm obsessed with him. We love Jeff.
It's got to be spelled like something weird, though, like something Star Wars.
Like G-E-O-G-H.
Yeah. You know? I was going to say, I was like, G-E-O-F-F is a way to spell Jeff, which is a weird way to spell Jeff. I'm sorry. If your name is Jeff and it's spelled G-E-O-F-F, you're weird. Your parents are weird. We don't judge in this house, but I kind of do a little bit.
As someone with weird spelling for their first name, I can attest that's weird.
Yeah, so the kids are trying to figure out who to talk to get them home. Fern and KB come across, I think, some woman that is that from the brothel and is trying to... Yeah. It looks like she's genuinely trying to help them.
I think she had seen them like when they walked by. And here's the thing, right? I love that Fern and KB are like the get it done and like let's get back. Like, I feel like they're both like the no bullshit, like let's do this thing. And I feel like that's so so accurate as like kids, that the girl or female presenting people as children are usually the ones as kids to be like, no, I'm gonna do this, like, right? And the boys, and the boys are always like, the ones
I'm like, hungry. Stop for some snacks first.
So I love that they're the ones that are always like trying to figure it out while the boys are just like off doing whatever. But yeah, no, she came from the brothel, followed them, and then they had gotten into like a little tussle, and then she pulled them aside and was like, hey, go home.
Yeah, she looked like she was genuinely concerned. Like, why are you here? Like, this is and not then... a place for kids.
And then we find out that their planet does not exist, which for me, I don't know about for you guys, but that was a total curveball for me. I was not expecting that.
100%. Because right before that, we got the Old Republic credit thing kind of starting, where like Wim went to pay for the food. And well, so the first time that Wim pulled out a credit was with the little creature at the ferry. And the creature was like, you could tell he was like, wait, what? And then when he went and gave them the money at the bar, that's when the whole Old Republic thing started. And I was like, okay, maybe, like, this planet just has this old currency and they've just never updated and, like, something's going on. But as soon as she was like, yeah, very funny, like, where are you actually from? I was like, what? What do you mean?
I was like, Old Republic? Like, the Old Republic? What do you mean by that?
How old is this republic?
Yeah.
And, like, I think that's the other question that I have is, like, how old are these credits? Are these, like, prequel? Or are they, like, pre-prequel? Like, are they, like,
Old Republic? Or Older Republic? Like, High Republic? Because I don't know when they... I don't think we have, like, an canon... Do we have a canon, like, of people calling it the High Republic in, like, later times? Because I know that there's been references to it in comics and things, but I don't remember if they've actually, anyone's actually called it the High Republic. So that could be the Old Republic.
Yeah, I don't think that they ever called it, like, there's not a place in canon that I can think of, not even in, like, Jedi Survivor, they never refer to it as that. So, like, listen, my theory is really leaning on the High Republic. I have lots of thoughts.
Especially because there's so many stories in the High Republic that also lean on, like, kids their age. Like, it would be a very seamless kind of connection to make. Be really cool.
Yep. The fact that these credits are old enough that, like, all these people are obviously like, holy crap, these are worth so much. And they all want it. But also, in that first episode, like what Sawyer said, where you were like, that's very High Republic of you when she talked about the great work. I was like, huh, that sounds very Lena So of you. And this feels like...
Yeah.
The thing that I said that I think is that what if this planet they set aside as like either like a refuge or like an experiment kind of to like very Divergent-esque of like, let's put these people and see what we can do, like, and kind of build them up into maybe like an army of some kind or like data analyst something, you know, like something along those lines. And if it was a part of the great works that she was doing. Because, you know, she was kind of shifty. She was doing some weird shit. And this could be one of the weird things that, like, no one knew about.
It also makes sense why it is a planet that looks like something we've never seen before in Star Wars. Like, we've never seen a Star Wars suburbia. Of course, it's something that could have existed. Absolutely. I've seen people that are like, wow, this doesn't look like Star Wars at all. And I'm like, I think actually, I think that's the point, is that it is so different from every other planet that we've been on, that there is something, some fuckery afoot about why it is the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Neil, oh gosh, I had a thought. He said something and I don't remember what it was. Oh, when Neil was on the pirate port and he basically was like, oh my God, aliens. I was like, you are literally an alien.
Yeah.
And that also made me go, huh, I wonder if Aden only has like specific species, because on the wall in Fern's house they had that mural that almost looked like it was like the beginning of the planet or something. I was looking at pictures of it today. I'm wondering if they like put certain species on this planet and said, this is it, this is all we're doing, and like see what happens. And that's why
you fall out of them.
Right,
I was gonna say.
And so it just, there's a lot of things that I'm like, because like Neil is quite literally an alien and yet was like, oh my God, did you see that alien? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I was like,
Yeah. I guess we're going to just find out more about this. I hope we find out more about this planet. But we get to the end of the episode.
I think we will.
I think so. We get to the end of the episode and the kids are thrown in the brig. And that is where they are introduced to Jude Law's character. And he's all creepy and they made him very like look like an old man because you can't see his face. And he's in these like rags and he's like, I can help you children. And then we get the fucking Force theme, which never fails to make me tear up a little bit when he moves the key and he grabs it. And then I was like, bitch, if you could have done that the entire time, why the fuck are you still here? But I feel like he's got an agenda and that's why.
He needed someone to help him.
I was really hoping that we were going to get like a bit of people trying to get like a space dog to go get the key. I was like, that would have been such a Pirates of the Caribbean. I mean, they tried with the rat. They tried with the rat. It is a little bit of a nod, I think, to...
And there was a whistle. Pirates. There was a whistle beforehand that sounded like the Pirates ride, and I went, huh? Where am I?
Where's that pirate water smell? But yes, we're introduced to Jude Law's character, and my simp counter is only at 2 so far. Chris is keeping count.
Was it just Jude Law?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I did say, what did I say? I didn't. Chris made a Captain Barbosa quote. He said a Captain Barbosa quote, and I went, smash. And he goes, I'm playing that game. And I was like,
sorry.
But my Jude Law sim counter is at 2, because I realized I don't know why I have not been more excited for this show when he's literally a hot single dad now. Like, he's a I'm adopting all of these kids and I'm old and grumpy,
which is your favorite trope,
literally my brand. And I was like, how did I not? I think because I'm just like, not that I wasn't excited for Skeleton Crew before, but I was just like, it'll get here when it gets here and I'll watch it, you know. I wasn't like actively like reading a lot of stuff or whatever, but yeah. So if we get another Space Joel Miller, fine by me. So fine by me.
I hope we do. I hope, for your sake and for mine.
Yep. And everybody can take a drink, because Brooke talked about The Last of Us.
I was just going to say, we almost made it to the end of an episode without it being mentioned.
Right there. Don't worry, it's always here.
Yep, I got a whole shelf. And I got all my ducks. I got all my ducks right on my computer.
Oh, perfect.
Yep.
Can we also, first of all, also talk about SM33 just dying?
Yeah, what the fuck?
I was like, he's on every poster and you're gonna kill him in the second episode? There's no way he's not coming back. I feel like he has to come back. I feel like the pirates are gonna save him and he's gonna stay with the pirates.
Yeah.
But I'm like,
yeah.
Well, they said that, like, oh, we have to go get SM33 before we get back to the ship. So it was on their agenda for when they escape the jail. But I also feel like he's probably one of those droids that is like pieced together with like duct tape and like so much crap that it's probably like, oh, I just gotta like replace this little part and he'll come back to life. Like, that's kind of the vibe that I get from him.
I hope so. I miss him already.
I think he has some connection to Jod personally. I think that I think Jod's gonna recognize him. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we've seen the last of SM33.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like he's definitely gonna come back. Mm-hmm. I like him a lot.
Yeah, everyone loves a silly little droid in Star Wars. But yeah, so those were the first two episodes. Overall thoughts, and do y'all have any predictions, or what do you hope to see in, it could be the next episode or just like the show overall, like what are you hoping to get out of Skeleton Crew?
I am actually really looking forward to seeing the scenes with the parents, because I know we're going to get more from them as they try to figure out where the heck their kids went and how to get them back.
I ship them already. I don't even know if Fern's mom is a single mom, but I am shipping them.
I'm looking forward to that. And I think that I'm looking forward to learning more about the planet. And I think that whatever's going on with the planet itself, there's going to be some, I think like Wendell is going to have a bit of deconstruction throughout this show, because he's like the strict dad and he has no whimsy, but I think that they're setting him up to, you know, reconcile with his son at the end. Yeah, exactly. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to everything else. And of course more Neil, but I want to know what's going on with this planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I'm just looking forward to, like, I feel like I've said it, like, we need like a counter of how many times I've said the word whimsy, but like, I feel like the whimsy and the joy of like adventure and not knowing what's coming next, I think that's what I'm most looking forward to, and why I was so excited about the show was like, with the last couple projects that Star Wars has put out, I've had an expectation going into them because I either knew something about the era that they were in, or I knew the plot and was like, okay, this is like what I'm expecting and this is who I'm expecting to show up. I'm very excited. With this one, I knew the era kind of that it was set in. Like, we knew the era range, but we didn't know anything else. And I think that's what I'm so excited about, is that I have no real expectation going forward. Like, we're kind of finding it as we're going, which I think is so fun and such a nice change of like, I don't know what's gonna happen and I can't wait to find out. And I really want to know this Treasure Planet. It's literally just Treasure Planet, and I want to know what's going on. I want to know.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. I'm kind of just like, I'm here for the ride. I have one not expectation. I have one hope for this show, and that is one Hondo Ohnaka, because we know he's kicking around. He's in Galaxy's Edge. Where is he? You can't. I feel like you cannot have a pirate, a Star Wars show about pirates, and then not bring the Star Wars pirate into it. Like, I feel like I don't care if it doesn't make sense. But it does. Just bring
we
him,
just need
even
him
if
to
it's
like
just a little cameo on their little spaceport, like in the next.
Yeah, episode. Like we see him in like, or like he like tunes into the ship and is like, "Where are you going? Like, hello, who are you?
Yeah,
something. I need to hear his voice."
I will say, I just had this thought as we were talking about like what we hope for the show. Oh my god. Hold on, I got it.
I believe in you.
Hold on a second. Hold, please.
I'm holding.
Donald Glover. Jesus Christ. Donald Glover. Sorry, that was so... I was like, it's not David. It's so... Sorry, y'all. Donald Glover was in Spider-Man Homecoming, which means he's worked with John Watts before.
Oh, I see your thought.
I'm seeing... This would be the perfect opportunity because who also goes hand in hand with space pirates? Lando Calrissian. If it's just a scene, you know, they run into him on some planet. Please. That would be so cool.
My only request. If they
I guess that the timeline, for some reason I was thinking sequel era, but no.
He would be
not sequel era. He would be young Lando.
He would be, I mean, post Return of the Jedi Lando, but still
young.
Yeah. Young.
My one request is that they don't put him in the yellow shirt because they put him in that and everything. And I understand that it's like one of his most iconic looks, but give him another outfit.
Yes, agreed.
Please.
Agreed.
Ooh.
But because they put him in Spider-Man Homecoming because. If you know the history of Miles Morales, like Donald Glover is basically the reason Miles Morales exists. Yeah. And so they had been trying to get, but he was too old at the time to play Miles, even like when he was on Community. So they'd been trying to get him to play the Prowler, which is Miles's uncle. And so they put him in Spider-Man Homecoming to kind of set him up to be, because he said, "Oh, my nephew Miles," or whatever in the show or in the movie. But then they never did it. The MCU never did anything with it. So I feel like this could be like kind of like retribution for that. And also not getting our fucking Lando show. That is maybe a movie. I don't know. We don't know what's happening with it.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta tell Chris, I didn't even think about that until just now.
Yeah. Could happen. That'd be a really fun cameo.
That'd be a really good one. And especially because they've kind of emphasized there's not going to be any cameos. I'm like, you're a liar.
You're a liar. Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. I do think, though, Hondo would be one of those where it's like, we would know who Hondo is, but you could introduce him in a way that the casual fan would be like, oh, it's just a pirate guy that has a past with Jod or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, which is very similar. Yeah, I think it's similar to having like Ki-Adi-Mundi in The Acolyte. Like, we know who that is, but for the purpose of the story, he's just a Jedi.
Yeah,
for sure. That's all he ever should be, really. He's just a guy.
He's just a guy.
Just a guy. Yeah, but even like the people that have been to Galaxy's Edge, they'd be like, wow, that guy sounds really familiar. That's crazy.
Like, whoa,
like, where did that come from? Yeah, but I think that's why they put him in Galaxy's Edge, because he's one of those characters that like is brand new to a lot of people that show up to get to Smuggler's Run, but is a very fun Easter egg for everybody else who really loves Rebels and Clone Wars.
Do you want to know a really fun fact?
Please.
So I obviously went to Galaxy's Edge within a year of it opening, right? And I was a very casual Star Wars fan before Galaxy's Edge. Galaxy's Edge is a really big reason why I'm a huge Star Wars fan now. I had never seen the Clone Wars show, and I had never seen any of, like, the animated stuff. So I thought, because, like, they had characters like Vi that were specific to the land and were, like, created around the land, I thought Hondo was one of those. I legitimately, until probably about 2 years ago, thought Hondo was, like, made for Galaxy's Edge. And so when I found out that he was in Clone Wars when I watched it for the first time, I was like, wait, he's been here the whole time? And Maggie and all them were like, yes, you didn't know? And I was like, no, I did not know, actually. But now I do. So
amazing.
No. Okay.
Yes. Well, all right. I feel like we did it.
We did it. Yeah.
I'm so excited for the show.
I am. I've just been feeling like kind of meh about Star Wars. And I think a lot of it had to do with that I really enjoyed The Acolyte. And then I'm like, I don't want to get excited about something that's just going to not go anywhere again. Mm-hmm. But sure. I feel like Skeleton Crew has like some, it's got the special juice.
I feel like it has that sauce that kind of appeals to everyone, no matter where you're at.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's so interesting. And I feel like I had read that test audiences did not like it, but that had to have been fake because 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's crazy.
For Star Wars,
For the first two episodes, like, come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. I think there's just something about it. I think it genuinely has to do with the showrunners obviously like genuinely care about telling a specific kind of story. And I think that it is very evident from the beginning that they have that kind of like wonder and drive to make it something special. And they picked a wonderful cast and crew, and like even the future directors, like the Daniel brothers, and like
I'm so excited for their episode.
And like oh my gosh, what's her face, Bryce Dallas Howard, like they brought in people that one genuinely care about Star Wars, but also like are just amazing storytellers. And I think that that's another reason why the show is going to be successful, is because they just all have that like drive to tell a good story. Not that like previous shows and stuff haven't had that, but I feel like that these ones have that like little spark that is just very special.
It feels like there's one cohesive vision among like everyone that worked on this show, from the show itself, but also just to hear all the cast, the showrunners, everyone talk about the show. It just has like something special that like everyone is like on the same page.
I agree.
That makes sense. But yeah.
So good.
I think that's it, everybody. I'm really excited for the show. Skeleton Crew. Hashtag Neil Nation.
Yes.
Hashtag, what did I call myself? A Brutus babe. We didn't even talk about Brutus.
Oh my god. Mr. Werewolf Man.
Yeah.
What a guy.
But anyway, we'll be here next week after episode 3 drops. We should be, if you're listening to this, it's probably the Monday before the next episode, because I think we're going to drop these on Mondays, so you can refresh and yap about Skeleton Crew with us before the next episode. So all that being said, thanks for listening. If you're listening, thanks for watching. If you're watching our faces, and we'll catch y'all on the next episode.
Bye.
Boy.